May be seated. Our next case is 12-2105, James Gessler and Angeline Gessler versus the City of Worthington Income Tax Board of Appeals and Stephen Gandy, Finance Director. For the appellant, we have Mr. Froehling.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor. May it please the court, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. The Gesslers appreciate the court's interest in this case. This case started out roughly 5.5 years ago when the City of Worthington enacted a tax ordinance that was clear and unambiguous. The Worthington ordinance said Schedule C income reported on a federal income tax return is not subject to Worthington tax. This case was simple and unimportant because the Worthington tax ordinance was clear and unambiguous. Schedule C income reported on a federal income tax return is not subject to tax. The Gesslers erroneously reported Schedule C income on their Worthington tax return and paid Worthington tax on that income. Thereafter, they requested a refund of that money. The Ohio Board of Tax Appeals determined the Worthington tax ordinance was clear and unambiguous. Instead of applying the ordinance as written, the board said that the city could disregard its ordinance and rely on state statute instead to impose Worthington tax on the Gesslers' Schedule C income.
Didn't they say that Worthington couldn't have that kind of a tax regulation for the City of Worthington?
The board said the city's ordinance was invalid.
Right. So it's not just in this case. They set aside the Worthington ordinance.
That's correct. The board said the General Assembly's expression must be deemed to govern here. Mm-hmm. So if the ordinance is invalid, by what legal authority can Worthington impose income tax on the Gesslers' Schedule C income? That was the egregious misapplication of the Ohio Constitution's home rule and the court's corresponding decisions of that home rule.
What does the BTA traditionally make constitutional calls?
The board is not able to decide constitutional issues.
Is that not what they were doing here?
That seems to be what they are doing. They invalidated the ordinance because it said it conflicted with Ohio Revised Code Section 718.01A7. The remedy for invalidating the ordinance was allowing the city to impose tax on the Gesslers' Schedule C income. The Ohio Constitution clearly confers the power of municipal income taxation to municipalities. Articles 18, Section 3 and 7 say municipal corporations have the power to exercise all powers of local self-government, but with those powers, municipal corporations have the power to enact and enforce ordinances, provided those ordinances aren't in conflict with the general laws. Article 13, Section 6 confers to the General Assembly the power to restrict a municipality's power to impose tax so as to prevent the municipal corporations from abusing that power. Article 18, Section 13 says the General Assembly may pass laws to limit a municipality's power to levy taxes. So this court, dating back 100 years...
Is Worthington a charter or is it a statutory city?
It's a municipal corporation chartered under Ohio law. It's a city. It's not a township.
No. Is it a charter city or is it a statutory city? Does it have a city charter?
It does have a city charter. Yes, it does, Your Honor.
All right.
This court has demonstrated repeatedly over the last 100 years that it understands the Ohio Constitution's home rule, and it understands the corresponding General Assembly's power to restrict and limit that law.
So you think this is a home rule case, then?
Absolutely.
That's the way you want us to look at it?
Yes.
And if we do, the test we've adopted in the Canton case says that the local ordinance cannot be in conflict with a general law. So the argument would be that the state statute is a general law which precludes an exemption for Schedule C income being reported. And I'd like your response to
sure.
that.
Sure. The General Assembly's powers are to restrict and limit, to prevent an abuse of power. And the General Assembly has adopted an ordinance here, a statute that says you have to tax Schedule C income. Worthington made a decision and enacted an ordinance that says we're not going to tax Schedule C
income. So is there a conflict between the statute then and the ordinance, in your view?
I would submit it's not an abuse of a city's power to choose to tax less than what state law would otherwise require. Certainly it's an abuse of power to tax more than what state law would allow, but it's not an abuse of power to tax less. And that's what we have here.
If you're claiming home rule, why would it be an abuse to tax more? If you're saying the city constitutionally can enact its own tax, and in this instance you're arguing it therefore has the authority to tax less than the state would require.
Well, the municipal corporations,
why would the municipality be precluded from taxing more than the state would require?
Because
I don't understand.
Because in Article 18, Sections 3 and 7, where municipal corporations have the power of local self-government, and this court said in a number of Ohio Supreme Court cases, there can be no doubt that the power of local self-government includes the power of taxation. However, that power is limited, and it's limited to the General Assembly's powers to restrict and limit so as to prevent an abuse of municipalities abusing their power to impose tax. So if the state General Assembly said you can tax X, Y, and Z, a municipal corporation can't tax X, Y, and Z and A, B, and C. That's taxing more. That's abusing the power because the General Assembly has exercised their discretion to limit and restrict municipalities' power to tax. Now, has the municipal corporation abused its power by saying, well, we're allowed to tax A, B, and C, we choose to tax just A and B? I submit the ordinance is valid on that score because it has not been an abuse of the power that the cities have to impose tax. Now, if the ordinance is invalid because the court determines that the ordinance is in conflict with the state statute, then what's the implication of that? Clearly, the Ohio Constitution confers upon municipalities the power to impose tax. The Ohio Constitution clearly does not impose on the General Assembly the right to impose Worthington City income tax.
Is this the first time this issue has been raised to your knowledge? Or has it been considered by the board or other commissioners in other cases?
Sure. I think the interplay between the municipality's powers on the one hand versus the General Assembly's powers on the other hand to restrict and limit, this court has considered many times.
In the tax context?
Yes, absolutely. In Zielanka v. Carroll back in 1919, the court considered this issue. In 1950, in Angel v. Toledo, the court considered this issue. In 1965, it was Thompson versus City of Loveland. 1996, Fisher v. Neusser. 1998, Cincinnati Bell versus the City of Cincinnati. And most recently, 2003, in Boucher v. Euclid, which is an interesting case involving lottery winnings, where three members of this court ruled in favor of the taxpayer in a 7-0 decision. That case is instructive on this score. So clearly what we have here is the interplay between municipalities' rights to impose tax versus the General Assembly's rights to restrict and limit. Now, if the municipality overstepped and was not allowed to exempt certain income, their ordinance is invalid. And if the ordinance is invalid, what mechanism does Worthington have to impose tax on the Gessler Schedule C income? And what the board said was, well, you can use the state statute to do that. Well, the problem is that is conferring the power to impose Worthington tax to the General Assembly, which the General Assembly doesn't have. The General Assembly has expressed their intentions to restrict and limit in Ohio Revised Code Chapter 718. Ohio Revised Code Chapter 718 sets forth the guidelines and parameters for which municipalities must operate within in order to have a valid tax. 718 is not set up to impose tax. And the General Assembly knows that when you look and examine the various statutes within 718. For instance, in 718, there's no statute that says when individuals and businesses are going to be subject to tax. In 718.01c, it clearly delegates to the municipal legislative authority the power to set the municipality's income tax rate. So there's no defined income tax rate.
Council, if I may, I'm over here. You answer Justice O'Donnell that you think this is a home rule case, but is this also a narrow case in the sense, has Worthington now come into line with the rest of the state and that Schedule C income tax is now subject?
That's right. That's right.
Is this a narrow case for the Gesslers?
Absolutely. It only pertains to this year. We're not aware of any other taxpayer. And this case involves tax years 2005, 2006, and 2007. In 2008, the Worthington City Council amended their ordinances to say we are going to tax Schedule C income. What's interesting about what happened in 2008 is City Council had a seven-member City Council, and there were four new members on City Council in 2008. That weren't on City Council in 2004 when this ordinance was enacted. So, you know, perhaps the whims of City Council has now changed, but you're right, Worthington has now amended their ordinance to tax Schedule C income. And I think this is where the Bauscher v. Euclid case becomes relevant in my judgment. You know, in Bauscher, a resident of Euclid won the lottery, won $3.5 million, paid federal tax on that, paid state income tax on that, didn't pay Euclid income tax on that. Why? Because the city of Euclid did not define taxable income to pick up lottery winnings. And this court said in paragraph 12, Euclid, you had the right to tax lottery winnings. Your ordinance was not clear in that regard. If you wanted to tax lottery winnings, all you needed to do was amend your ordinances to say you wanted to tax lottery winnings. Your taxing statute was not clear, and tax statutes are construed strictly against the taxing authority. So in that score, I think the Euclid case is somewhat relevant here relative to what Worthington City Council has now done.
Now, this case comes to us from the Board of Tax Appeals.
Yes.
And so our standard of review is not of a constitutional magnitude, but it's whether or not the determination is appropriate or reasonable and lawful.
Right. The board's
And so what, if we would agree with your view, what would you have us do with this case by way of disposition? Does this go back to the board?
No, absolutely not. The High Supreme
Court.
Well,
if the determination was unreasonable or unlawful.
The board's decision was unlawful because the board's decision is in conflict with the Ohio Constitution. It confers upon the city of Worthington, or it says the city of Worthington can use state law to impose city tax. The power to impose city tax is vested with Worthington City Council. With that power comes great responsibilities. You have to draft ordinances that are not in conflict with state law. If your ordinances do not comport with state law, there is no other mechanism to impose tax on the Gesslers. The Ohio General Assembly does not have the power to impose Worthington income tax.
What about we don't have to even get to a conflict analysis here, because we're not talking about police power, are we? We're talking about the laws of self-government. I mean, the Constitution says municipalities may exercise all powers of local self-government.
Right.
And then it goes on, and to adopt and enforce local police, sanitary, and other regulations that are not in conflict. So the conflict doesn't come into play here because this is local self-government we're talking about.
That's right. And what we have here is Worthington enacted an ordinance that says we're not going to tax Schedule C income. Mm-hmm. And Worthington said, you know what, Gesslers, we are going to tax that Schedule C income, even though our clear and unambiguous ordinance says we're not going to. I mean, one rule of statutory construction is clear and unambiguous ordinances are to be applied, not interpreted. To interpret what is plain is to legislate, and that's the province of City Council, not the judiciary here. So either the ordinance is valid and the Gesslers are not entitled, or you know, the Gesslers don't have to pay tax under Schedule C income, or the ordinance is invalid and there's no mechanism in city code to tax the Gesslers Schedule C income because they cannot rely on state law to do that. That is beyond the powers that the General Assembly have been afforded by the Ohio Constitution.
So if they would strike that provision exempting Schedule C, you say there's no other mechanism to collect taxes from the Gesslers?
Well, then you would have a definition of net profit. That means net profit means profit. You would be having, that's probably void and void for vagueness on its face. What does that mean? You would also be, you know, the due process considerations here are paramount. You cannot sever, the other than language within the ordinance without raising serious due process considerations. We would submit that, you know, if you were to sever that, the relief should be prospective, not retroactive, because what we would have here is a situation where the ordinance clearly says we're not going to tax that income. The remedy cannot be, well, we'll tax it anyway and make a retroactive application of that provision. The remedy here is, you know, prospective relief with respect to the city, although even that's unnecessary because in 2008, the city amended their ordinances to tax Schedule C income.
Well, what about capital gains income? Do they tax that?
Well, you know, that's what's unclear about the definition of profit. You know, it says, you know, profit as, you know, other than Schedule C, Schedule E, and Schedule F. So, you know, would that be Schedule B? Would that be Schedule D?
You know, be Schedule D, wouldn't it?
It would be Schedule D, but, you know, there's also another state statute that says, you know, cities are precluded from imposing tax on capital gains and interest and dividends, many of which are reported on Schedule D. So there's a number of, you know, infirmities here with what the city did with their ordinance. So if the ordinance is invalid, fine. There is no other mechanism to impose tax on the Gesslers. I mean, the Ohio Revised Code, Chapter 718, it doesn't serve as a safety net for cities, you know, to correct infirmities in their ordinances. It's not an insurance policy. It doesn't serve to fill in the blanks. That is an absolutely true statement because we know from the Ohio Constitution that 718 serves to prevent the cities from abusing their powers of taxation. 718 serves as a shield to protect taxpayers from cities abusing their powers of taxation.
What is the refund your clients were seeking in this case?
$55,000 plus interest.
Aggregate.
With interest.
But the aggregate for
years. For 3 years, $55,000 thereabouts.
Thank you.
Was the ordinance itself valid, though, in 2003 when it exempted the Schedule C? Was it valid?
The pre-2004 ordinance?
Before it was amended, right?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. You know, that issue hasn't been raised at any stage of the proceedings, and it hasn't been briefed. Now, the pre-2004 ordinance, I mean, Worthington City Council amended their ordinance in theory to comport with the Ohio Revised Code. And the, you know, obviously there's questions about whether the pre-2004 ordinance even complied with the Ohio Revised Code. I mean, that issue really has not been fully briefed in terms of the, you know, what transpired prior to 2004.
But when you're talking about the right to exercise local self-government, you're still talking about ordinances that are valid.
That's right. Right. So in this case, we, you know, if the ordinance is valid and the ordinance says we're not taxing Schedule C income, then Worthington can't tax the Gesslers Schedule C income. Now, if the ordinance is invalid, there's no legal authority. You know, there's no ordinance that says you can tax Schedule C income.
And so you're saying it doesn't matter if the ordinance was valid or not in your position?
We submit the Gesslers win either way.
Thank you. Mr. Ferris.
Chief Justice O'Connor, members of the panel, may it please the court, Andrew Ferris appearing on behalf of the City of Worthington and the Appalachian City of Worthington Income Tax Board of Appeals, and Stephen Gandy, the Finance Director. The court should affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals because it was reasonable and lawful and in accordance with this court's prior rulings. The BTA concluded that the definition of net profits in Revised Code Section 1718.01A7 and the manner of taxing a sole proprietor who has net profits, which is set forth in Revised Code Section 1718.01G1, were in direct conflict with the definition of net profits, which was set forth in Worthington Codified Ordinance 1701-15. And I think it's very important here to distinguish what we're talking about with respect to these ordinances. The definition of net profits was set forth in 1701-15, and that's really what we are arguing about.
Let me stop you right there.
Sure.
What is the state of Ohio's interest here in whether Worthington excludes net profits or any other municipality does a variance on this sort of thing?
The General Assembly's interest clearly is uniformity in municipal taxation. It is
because what's the value of uniformity? Where are we going with this?
The value of uniformity, and it has been a hallmark of municipal taxation, is that part of limiting local taxation by municipalities is making sure that we can provide as much uniformity as we can, given that we have multiple jurisdictions and they have home rule rights. So what we've seen over time is that the General Assembly has stepped in through the uniformity provisions of 718 to provide guidance to municipalities as to what they can and can't tax and what they can and can't exempt.
Do you disagree that taxation is part of local self-government?
I don't disagree with that at all, but I think that the provisions of 718 that are in question here are general rules, general laws.
We don't get to that unless we're talking about the police power of the ordinance. With the Constitution is very clear. There's no limitation at that beginning. Municipalities have all powers of local self-government. And then we go on, and then with respect to the police power and so on, they cannot conflict with general law. So if you're agreeing that taxation is part of local self-government, it seems to me that we just determine whether the ordinance is valid or not. But you don't talk about conflict with state law and uniformity. That's not an issue.
I think that then we need to talk specifically about which ordinance we're talking about. Because the imposition of the tax in question here is levied by 1703.01c. It is not levied by 1701.15. 1701.15 defines net profits for purposes of the tax. 1703.01c1 imposes a tax on net profits. So there is absolutely a base upon which the city can levy the tax against the Gesslers. We do have what, in our view, is a conflict with the commands of 718 as to the base of tax, not the imposition of tax, but the base of tax. So there are three Worthington ordinances that really come into play here. There's 1703.01c1, which imposes the tax, and that provides very clearly for the purposes of general fire department operations and general municipal operations, maintenance, new equipment, and capital improvements, there is hereby levied a tax on net profits earned after January 1st, 2004 of all unincorporated businesses, professions, or other activities conducted by residents of the city. There's nothing to suggest that ordinance was not in effect at the time that the city levied the tax against the Gesslers. The confusion and, in our view, the error in the ordinance is in 1701.15, which defines net profits. And 1701.15 defines net profits in direct contravention of the definition that the General Assembly put forth in 718.01a7 and in conflict with the command of 718.01a7.
But do you agree that as it reads, the Gesslers were exempt from the tax under the, forget about the state statute for a moment,
sure.
The reading of the Worthington ordinance, this particular income was not covered, was exempt from tax.
That's correct, and that's because we had.
So the only way it gets taxed is if you use the state statute, and that's what the Board of Tax Appeals did, to say this part of the ordinance is unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional or in contravention of the revised code.
Aren't they the same? Isn't that the same phrase? And I guess that's the problem that I'm having here is, I think this case is a lot bigger than the Gesslers. Does the Board of Tax Appeals have a right to look at a municipal ordinance and say, we don't like the way that's written, so therefore we're going to tax those citizens under a different rate than their legislative body has agreed to? And I'm not sure I understand your uniformity argument. You know, I'm from Geauga County, and we pride ourselves on low taxes. And right down the street is Cuyahoga County that has very high taxes. Well, that's not uniform, is it?
It's uniform within the parameters that the General Assembly has provided for those counties and municipalities. There are ranges of rates that can be applied if certain procedures are followed and if you have the electorate agree to those. So
I understand that, and I guess that's my direct question to you. Does the Board of Tax Appeals have the right to look at a municipal ordinance and saying, well, that's just an improper ordinance, so we're not going to apply it?
I think that the Board of Tax Appeals has the right to look at the ordinance and say it is squarely in contravention and conflicts with what the General Assembly has defined to be the tax base for a group of municipal taxpayers.
Council, the Ohio Constitution 12.03b says the taxation of incomes and the rate of such taxation may be either uniform or graduated and may be applied to such incomes and with such exemptions as may be provided by law. And then you're saying that directs us to the statutory provisions that govern the taxation of incomes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then we go to Justice Lanziger's point that says that we only do a comparison between the conflict of local ordinances or laws with the General Assembly's legislation on this matter when it involves a police power, correct?
Correct.
So why are we doing any kind of analysis here of a conflict?
If we don't get to analysis to the point of analyzing the conflict, we're essentially saying that everything that the General Assembly has said in Revised Code 718 as to uniformity is null and void, that a municipality can do whatever they want to.
The Constitution says that the rates of such taxation may be either uniform or graduated. Does that not allow for that kind of deviation between what a municipality does and what the General Assembly does?
I'm not sure that the term graduated means that we can pick and choose municipal taxpayers that are going to be subject to certain rates of taxation.
This was the denial of a refund, correct?
That's correct.
It wasn't a direct challenge to the ordinance itself. This is the troublesome thing here, that the BTA decided that it would rule on constitutionality of an ordinance to deny a refund. That's a difficulty. I think the procedural posture here is troubling.
I think that the BTA's decision is somewhat brief in that it did not at all address what ordinance that it was talking about. There clearly is a basis under 1703.01c1 to levy a tax on the Gesslers. The BTA doesn't squarely address that. It just goes on to then get to the conflict issue. The BTA also doesn't squarely address the record, which reflects that this was not an overt act on the city of Worthington. This was a mistake. There was significant testimony before the BTA that the other than language in this statute was a carryover when the finance director drafted the legislation. So there's nothing in the record to reflect that the city of Worthington ever wanted to exempt this income. The question was posed earlier, how did the city of Worthington tax this income prior to House Bill 95 and municipal income tax reform? And you know, since 1971, the city of Worthington has taxed net profits. The most recent ordinance in question was Ordinance 56-2001, which defined net profits to mean the gain from the operation of a business, profession, or enterprise. And if you go further back in history, they have taxed net profits. So the history with the Gesslers was Mr. Gessler called and said, I think that I'm not subject to tax. He sat down with the finance director. The finance director said, no, you are, and here is why. You know, letters were provided to Mr. Gessler. There was a discussion prior to him filing the refund claim. Subsequently, the City of Worthington amended their ordinance to make it conform with the language in House Bill 95 as a result of municipal income tax reform.
Mr. Ferris, do you agree that this is a home rule case? I think Mr. Froehling suggested he thought it was. Do you view it the same way?
I don't know that I view it the same way, because from the position of the city, notwithstanding the statute that we have, and I don't think we can disagree that it's not clear and unambiguous.
Well, you've been arguing conflict, and I'm just trying to understand your philosophy and the approach you're taking with the case in terms of the analysis. Is it a home rule analysis or is it not?
I don't believe it's a home rule analysis.
Well, how do you view this matter?
I view this matter that the General Assembly has set forth specific uniform guidelines for municipalities to impose their taxes, and that's part of their role in limiting or restricting state taxes.
Where do you get
taxes?
The uniformity analysis? I mean, in response to the Chief Justice's question, you said it was to provide uniformity in taxation. Where does that come from?
It comes from reading 1701A7.
Is that your own analysis, or is that part of a legislative prescription or legislative service commission directive or something to that effect?
The whole caption with respect to 718 is to provide uniformity. That's the whole purpose of 71801, is to provide municipalities guidance as to how to impose their taxes.
Well, Council, we have many cities in Ohio that are not charter cities. So they are creature statute, and they can only do what the General Assembly has provided under the statute. So if Worthington were not a charter city, statutory framework would control whatever that is.
That's correct.
But they are a charter city.
Yes, they are.
So how do you, I don't understand how you get around the constitutional confrontation here.
The only way that I get around it is that the General Assembly has passed these laws and decided to occupy this field.
Council, you're looking at 718-01. I just had it here, where it specifically states that 13B, no municipal corporation shall tax income at other than a uniform rate.
That is correct.
Okay, is that meaning all municipal corporations around the state have to have a uniform rate, or no municipal corporation shall tax income for people who are subject to its income tax other than at a uniform rate?
And the people subject to the income tax would be a sole proprietor, a partnership, an individual, a corporation.
Within the municipality. Net that, you know, is taken into.
In that net, there must be uniformity. Therefore, to exempt out the Gesslers as being sole proprietors on Schedule C income violates that provision.
But for the fact that there's a municipal ordinance that says that they're not going to collect it on Schedule C, correct?
That's
so
correct.
Presumably everybody else that is in similarly situated as the Gesslers within the taxable area, Worthington, are treated uniformly. Nobody pays income tax for these number of years that this was part of their ordinance. Is that not the case?
That's not the case, because it's Schedule C income only, and D and F as the ordinance was drafted. But you would have an individual who might have compensation income would not be exempted.
Schedule F income, you said?
Schedule C, D, and F is what's described in the ordinance.
C, D, D is capital gains. F is farm income.
Yes, C, E, or F, excuse me.
So how many farms are in Worthington?
Well, again, that's because this ordinance was drafted after municipal income tax reform and was attempting to incorporate what the General Assembly's guidance was with respect to the municipal income tax base. So it was a general law directing municipalities as to how to tax the income, and it was not a general law telling them to exempt the income. It was a general law saying that sole proprietors are going to be taxed on C, E, or F income as it's reflected on their federal return. So we could have a municipality, you know, pick one that has folks that have farm income within it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Froling, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Chief Justice. It's clear to me the court understands the facts here and the legal issues before it. The one point that caught our ear was that the Board of Tax Appeals determined that the City of Worthington did intend to enact the ordinance as written. They did hear testimony on that, direct examination, cross-examination. That issue was briefed, and the Board concluded that the ordinance was, that's what City Council intended to do. So that decision is reasonable and lawful. It's the court's decision about whether, you know, in Boucher v. Euclid, about whether a taxable the definition of taxable income is a taxing ordinance or not is analogous to the definition of net profits here. And this court said in a 7-0 decision, if Euclid wanted to tax lottery winnings, all they needed to do was amend their city ordinance defining taxable income to pick that up. So we think this case is fairly straightforward, but it is one of great importance relative to the past 100 years of Ohio Supreme Court decisions on this topic.
Thank you. Gentlemen, we will take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decisions. Thank you.